Hello, welcome to The Musics in Japan,
a conversational podcast about daily life for an American couple living long-term in Japan.
So lately I've been thinking about, have things become traditions and how those traditions become obligations and how those obligations become universals.
Like the universal have to, you must do this.
Yeah, like, okay, so for example, listicles, right?
Right.
So listicles,
you know how I feel about listicles, but go ahead.
Listicles have been around forever, like, and they start at the end of the year, top 20, top 10.
Yeah.
And they've been around like all throughout the year, who's in the top 10, top 100. Humans like listicles.
Yes, I think in Mount Vesuvius they found like top 10 Roman emperors kind of thing.
Okay, he's being sarcastic. They didn't find that in Mount Vesuvius.
Yeah, Vesuvius, mostly what they found is fast food restaurants, which that I'm not being sarcastic. They were like, whoa, there's all these fast food restaurants and we can see what people ate. So yeah. Fast food has been around for thousands of years. What the heck?
Because we're lazy.
At right? The core. Right?
Now, I believe with our one mutual that's cancer lazy, there's been like chronic illness and a desire to enjoy other people's food our entire life, our
I think entire so. History. You like work all day building the pyramids. You want to go have like just some beer and some fried food with your friends.
I thought it was so cool when they were able to prove that the pyramids were not built by slaves.
Yeah.
I thought that was so cool, but no one's getting the memo. Like, no one's believing that. I'm like, dude, they uncovered like high quality butchers.
Yeah.
They uncovered like a whole tier system. They uncovered payment. They uncovered whole families living there. It was a public works thing.
And they were like, what are these thousands of tubes of clay? Oh, they're straws. So even in the straw debate.
Oh my gosh. You're late. So I wonder if that's tied to Christianity, though. Like, they can't. Because that's like sort of the heart of Christianity and sort of at the heart of Judaism, right? Is that Jews were slaves.
Right.
And that. For the Christians, the whole Moses thing, right? So I'm Jewish and I'm down with science. I'm also an atheist, so I'm down with science.
Well, and the way that I learned Christianity, it was all about the persecution.
Yeah.
It was all about, you know, you're right because they're out to get you.
Yeah.
Which we see now, people can be out to get people who are wrong.
Yeah, exactly. So one of the other things, so like this time of year, it's like the holiday season. And that's sort of become like a universal around the world that this is the holiday season.
Yeah.
For Christian and non-Christian alike, that this is the time of year that everyone celebrates. And to me, that why? Why isn't from January to February the holiday season? Is it too far apart?
I think so. I think it's the solstice. So with the exception of Chinese New Year, which usually happens in February, most of the stuff happens around the solstice, which is...
And Eid?
Well, Eid rotates because that's strictly a lunar calendar. So that, like, sometimes happens in the summer, sometimes happens in the winter. That kind of rotates around the calendar.
It's a pretty big one.
It is a major one. But most of the world is on the lunisolar calendar.
And what about Diwali?
Diwali, I think, is mostly the same season every year. Cause they use...
Sorry if I murdered the pronunciation of that. It's how my girlfriend would say it. So I say it like she says it. And I used to call it Diwali. And she was like, no, it's Diwali.
Yeah, she's Telugu. So I don't know if that's the Hindi pronunciation or the Telugu pronunciation or what. But...
Or if she was punking me, because she did have a cute sense of humor.
Yes, she did.
And she loved the fact I would just do, like, I went along with whatever. So, oh, it's Diwali, okay, I'll call it Diwali. Like, whatever she wanted. And she
was
just
she was not the only one who called it that, though.
Yeah, all of our girlfriends did. All of my girlfriends did.
So maybe
they were your girlfriends, too, kind of.
Kind of. Not in the same context. It doesn't have quite the same meaning.
Because you're friends with all our husbands.
Yes.
We were very, very gendered.
Yes. We were friends as couples. And it's something we had been looking for when our son was young. It was like, we need friends who are couples who have a kid our son's age.
Yeah. We were on the hunt for that.
Yeah.
And our one requirement was either they had to be, we had two things that they could be. Either as in love as we were.
Right.
Or not messing with us about how in love we were.
Yes.
because we didn't like being teased, because we're super duper, we're still super duper in love. But people think it's something to tease us about, and I don't know why.
I don't either. Like, you're just showing your jealousy. Fun?
Yeah. Like, why are you poking fun? Yes, I'm completely in love with my husband. Why is that the thing you're ridiculing?
Oh my goodness. The horror.
Yeah. I love my husband. Okay, but that's not what this episode's about.
Okay, because it could be every episode. Because I love my wife. That's you.
Yes. Yes. I am very much his wife. I like being his wife. I know I'm agendered, but I like being his wife. So, it basically, like, this time of year. So, we didn't do it last week, because as you can tell, this week I'm feeling a lot better than I was over the past 2 weeks. I'm still really sick, but now I'm having pockets of I can get up and do it. And right now we're in one of my I can get up and do it pockets. And that means thinking about, like, everything we want to accomplish this year.
Yes.
And so this year, it's just a natural time of introspection. And I think everyone's introspective at this time of year. I think this is something, excuse me, that's become a universal.
I think so. I know a few people who like to do it around their birthday.
I like to do it around my birthday.
Okay, so because you're one of the people who are like, why should I do it at the same time everybody else is doing it?
Yeah.
I should have my own special day of reckoning where I look at what's been going on, where I want to be, what I need to do to get there, and kind of take a personal inventory.
Which you will not do.
Like, I don't want to take a personal inventory. My rucksack is just, like, all messy. It's got all kinds of receipts in it. Let me take a personal inventory. It's just, like, my bag is full.
Yeah, Rasta does it the month before his birthday because I force him to.
Yeah.
So I don't know if he likes it or not. I feel like calling him up and asking him to be, like, a guest on the show. But I'm not going to do that. It's part of me being sick. I'm like, how can I get more Rasta? I want more Rasta. I'm like fighting the urge to call him. I just want to snuggle with him.
Yeah,
I
talked about this last time.
I know. I just, like, I feel like everything would be easier if Rasta would just come snuggle me. Like, why won't he come snuggle me? Come snuggle me.
You know he would if you called him up and said so.
I know, but that's so inappropriate. Like, when he's married with a kid, what? How am I going to look?
It's just very time intensive.
It is.
And I think he works for the family business. Like, just.
But we haven't been having him work over here because I'm sick.
Yeah.
And I'm so hardcore about protecting him.
Yes.
From my sickness. He's been singing me songs every day, which I love when he sings to me. Neither one of us can sing very well, but I love that he sings to me.
You both sing enthusiastically.
Yeah. You can hear the love in it and
yes.
The emotion. He emotes very well in his singing. And I can tell how much he loves me and how much he's thinking about me to go through the trouble of making a recording and then sending it to me.
Yeah.
It's very loving. So Rost and I do our thing on our birthdays. But because Chad has autism, one of the things that he learned is that, no, you do personal inventories on New Year's Eve. He's really specific, New Year's Eve. So me getting him to move away from it being New Year's Eve is an optical illusion. He's already done it. He just knows that I may not be ready to deal with the fact that he did it appropriately and on time. And he's accepting that I'm late this year, basically, is where we're at with this.
We're early. Sometimes I can't tell. Is she late or is she early? Because your birthday's in June. So, like, sometimes you're 6 months early, sometimes you're 6 months late.
Yeah, but if it's not, like, if we're not recording this on December 31st, which we are not, then I am either early or late.
This is just the way things work. I don't make the rules.
Yeah, you don't make the rules, but you sure do follow them.
That's why they're rules. That's why they're rules. What's the point of a rule if you don't follow it?
So this year, I don't know, maybe Chad, you want to go first with, like, what's the number one thing you want to accomplish this year? Lay it bare. Just go full raw.
I want to finish writing 2 books. I have 2 books that are in process. I want to finish writing both of them.
Wow, that would make me so happy.
I know it would.
As your polisher, I would be so happy. If you just finished one of them, and you know which one I want you to finish.
And I worked on it today.
Wow, thank you.
Yeah, while you were sleeping, I did some work on it. So
thank you. That is so awesome. So you have pages for me to read.
Yes, it's coming nice. Along, but it's coming along slowly, but it is coming along.
It's almost written.
It is almost finished, yes.
So it's like 7/8 done before editing?
Yeah, that sounds about right. Yeah, somewhere between 70 and 90% done.
Okay, that's good. That's awesome. That makes me super happy.
Yeah, I could see you smiling. I think people could probably hear you smiling.
They probably can.
The transcript is going to read smiles loudly.
No, it's going to read that because you said it.
Exactly. So I'm telling the truth there.
Yeah, you are. So can you please put smiles loudly? Make sure you put parentheses around it when Chad says it, because that's what he wants. Thank you. Yeah.
Yes.
Because he did, like, parentheses in the air.
I did.
Not quotation marks, parentheses.
Yeah, they're different.
They are.
As a writer, I know these things.
Yes, as a writer, you would know these things. By the way, did you know I'm a writer?
So, yeah, that's what I want to do today, because I feel like my day job has really settled down. They're happy with me. I'm happy with them. Everybody knows what's going on with that. There's not really anything to do there. I'd like to make steady progress on things. I'm in perpetually self-educating about things. So I have other goals, but the ones that I have as unusual are to finish these books, because they're things that my life will be better if I do them, but things won't fall apart if I don't. I won't feel like I'm not accomplishing anything or something.
So for me, because in the publishing house, one of the major things I'd like to accomplish this year is I would love for you to sign your author's contract.
Yeah.
I'd love for you to actually be signed with Cinnabar Moth.
Wow.
I'm putting it out there. I'd love for you to actually sign your
contract. I'll have to talk to the contract person about that and see when they can get to that.
Yes. Can you please sign your contract?
I'll have to talk to the contract person about that and get them to send it.
I just put him on blast that he hasn't signed yet. I know that Cinnabar Moth put out an announcement. It's because we're publishing his book on February 16th, and we have already, like, spent a lot of money on it. And I'm just trusting him that he's not going to screw over the company and that he's going to actually sign his contract.
But that's
my major project before the 16th getting him to sign his contract.
See, it's tricky because we use Adobe Sign, which sends as me because I'm the one with the account, which I didn't know would do. And it also sends the contracts in Japanese.
Which is really weird.
Like, the contract itself is in English because it sends the document, yeah. But it sends the request in Japanese.
Yes.
So when we've signed people, I've had to send them a note saying, you're going to get a request that's in Japanese. There should be a translate button.
Because we are a Japanese company.
Yes. But Adobe does not give me the option to have it sent in English.
Which is preventing you, who can read Japanese, from signing it how?
Exactly. Because how? I need to send it to myself, and I can't be both people. So somebody else needs to sign it, and then send it to me, and then I will sign it.
So why don't you send it to me, and then I'll send it back to you.
This works.
I know it works.
We've got a plan.
Life with an autistic partner. I didn't know why you weren't signing the contract, because no one sent it to you.
Yeah.
Okay, so please send me the contract, and then I will send it to you.
Okay.
And ask you to please sign it.
Yes, we've got a plan.
Yes. Woohoo! Choo-choo! Like, you'll think we're playing and we're not. So seriously, like, what's going to happen? And so I'm going to have to, like, after this episode, I'm going to have to send Chad an email. Hey, send me the contract so I can send it to you to sign.
Yeah.
Like, that's what's really going to happen. So, yeah, I want that to happen. And then I would love, love, love to find. So I have mostly January goals.
Mm-hmm.
Like, everything that's in my head right now are January goals. I'd love to find a cover artist for Gracie and Seuss Live the Dream.
Yeah, and I think that will happen.
It's so complicated because we want an illustrated cover, but we don't want it to look middle grade. And with illustrative covers, if you use people's faces, it's really hard. And it taking place in the punk rock scene, but being pastel punk, pastel EDM, and pastel goth, like that's sort of the blend that we're looking for. So it's basically neon.
Yeah.
So we need basically a neon cover that doesn't look middle grade. So that's been my focus now that I'm starting to feel better. And it doesn't help that I lost, you know, the first 2 weeks of the month.
Yeah. Yeah.
By being sick. So I'm hoping we're able to get a cover art for our second book that's coming out. And I'm also, I'm super, super happy that all of our advertising has gone out this month. And we'll talk about that more on the take two, the process of advertising. And then, so yeah, everything in my world is just like, I'm living between now and February 16th. And then I'm living from February 16th, trying to determine if I'm living from February to May or February to August. And then, so I don't really have a year plan. Like, I don't have this year planned out. It feels very topsy-turvy for me.
But I think you've got some major things planned out that you haven't mentioned. So you've got your major things planned out about your PhD dissertation and your other work. So I think that...
being sick has thrown my PhD into turmoil. Being sick has thrown everything into turmoil.
Yeah.
And so, like, I'm on submission for part of my PhD. I'm hoping that's another thing that I'm hoping to finish by August. So, like, I have a lot of things that I'm hoping to finish by August.
Yeah.
So I don't have anything. I'm not looking beyond August. I'm not looking into September, which I think kind of challenges you because you really do try and force the year's planning to happen in January. You've been unsuccessful for over 20 years.
I have been. I think I've gotten a bit better. I think I've gotten a bit more relaxed in acknowledging that you do your planning around your birthday.
Everybody just heard you like, no, babe, don't say that. You've got the whole year planned. You've got other stuff planned. I'm like, no, I don't. You got till August out of me. Feel good.
I'm trying to make this a universal. It's a habit. It becomes a universal. I'm like, can we just skip to the universal part where everything is the way Chad wants it?
No. So what's your, do you have a year plan? Like finishing your two books? That feels so loosey-goosey to me. That's why I think it's like this whole year plan thing, I think for you is a farce.
It is a farce.
Yeah, cause I don't think
it's a farce and a folly. Yeah.
You don't like plans.
I think that I like goals better than plans. And I know that some people are like, well, if you have a goal without a plan, it's just a wish. But I like to know where I'm...
That was very pointedly at me.
You've never said that to me.
No, I haven't.
Other people have said directly those words to me. So.
Okay. Yeah, no, I haven't.
But I like to have a long-term goal where I know where I'm headed, and then I make very short-term plans to make progress toward it. And that's worked out very well for me. To say I'm going to make continual progress toward this goal, because I find that it keeps me from going too much off in random directions that don't have anything to do with my goal. And yes, I see the looks. There are a couple of years we're not going to talk about.
Yes.
Where I was going off in odd directions.
Yes, quite a few years.
But I feel like I have brought that knowledge back into the present and made use of it.
So one of our very good friends who I absolutely adore, who is in the United States, and yes, I'm talking to you. You're probably, because of COVID, you're not on your way to the gym. But if you weren't, if it wasn't COVID, you'd be on your way to the gym. So you know that I'm talking about you, but I'm not. That was so just like secret message in a bottle to a good friend that I happen to adore.
All of our listeners are very muscular people, I think.
Yes. So, but this particular music note knows, because
yes,
they've been here since, I feel like since really early on in the process, they've been with us. And they're also a mutual on Twitter. So yes, I'm talking about you, baby cakes. And I don't know if baby cakes is demeaning or not.
But I think it is. I think no matter who you're talking to, unless they're literally like little tiny
cakes. Should it be like beefcakes? But that feels too erratic.
Why is that plural?
Because like each pectoral muscle is a beefcake? Or are beefcakes someone's buttocks? Because if it's someone's buttocks, then that's sexual. And I'm not trying to be sexual.
I can't believe you don't know this.
What are beef?
Beefcake is the manly equivalent of cheesecake for women.
For women is a yeast infection. What are you talking about?
No. Like the Betty Page pinup.
Uh-huh.
Are also called cheesecake photos.
And they were not.
Not at the time. They are now.
Are you talking about?
I am talking about like...
I have been a pinup in my youth. I don't do pinup work anymore. Right.
I am talking about like...
At one time, I had one of the top selling postcards.
Yes.
In America, which I'm super proud of.
Yes. And it was not a French postcard. It was an American postcard.
Yeah. It was an American postcard. And it was a retro postcard. You saw the postcard.
Yeah, I did.
It's a real thing.
Yeah.
So, okay. So what is the beefcake?
Okay.
So cheesecake to me is always going to sound like yeast infection.
And yeah, that's not what it is at all. So in like comics.
So wait, is cheesecake supposed to be like not the BDSM postcards, but like she has one leg up, she's in spike heels, but only has an apron on and is bringing dinner to the table?
Yeah, and it comes from comics too. So
okay, so beefcake is he's sitting naked at the dinner table with the pipe?
No, beefcake is more like he's shirtless and chopping wood.
Okay, that's not at all how I'm envisioning you when I'm saying that. I'm sorry for sexualizing you. That is completely not my intention. I did not mean to sexualize you. I meant to share endearment. So maybe lemon drop? Because we shared lemon candy?
Yeah, there you go.
Or, no, see, my mind was someplace even more profane. I'm like, but then we've got those tea bags. I'm like, girl, no, you know not tea bags.
You know that.
Yeah. So I'm so sorry that you're even part of this. Like even having to hear all this sexualization. You have a soft spot. I have a soft spot in my heart for you that is non-sexual and pure friendship. So I'm in no way sexualizing you. Random term of endearment. You can let us know.
Yes.
I'm just not going to. Everything is just really hypersexualized that I'm thinking of.
Yeah, what's up with you on that?
I don't know.
You're like, I've been sick. I've been flat in bed for 3 weeks because I couldn't move.
I did have erotic dreams about you for the past 3 hours, like right before we recorded these. And so like I had all these erotic dreams and I thought, ooh, I'm going to get up and I'm going to get me some. And I got up and like, I was like, as soon as I sat up, I was like, oh.
Yeah, you got up and you were like, I don't think I'm going to vomit.
Yeah, I was like, I need help getting out of bed so I can go to the bathroom. Just know, if I was not sick, I'd be all over that.
Okay. Things would be going down.
Yes. So my emotional space is that I like woke up, I jumped on you. It was a wild ride. Amazing. Hours and hours, days and days. And yeah, that's where my...
Universal.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. A universal, just the boom.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
The big bang.
Yes. It was amazing. So those were the dreams I was having, except they were really weird because they were on, like, everything was on a pedal horse. Like, we were having sex on all these different types of pedal horses.
What is a pedal horse?
A pedal horse is those rides on the... in the playground that they have pedals and handles and you can pump them back and forth.
Oh, and like that are just the big spring, basically?
They're kind of like the spring horses, but they're not on a spring.
Okay.
They're on a stand, and when you pedal them, they go up and down or they spin.
Interesting. I don't think I've ever seen those, but they sound like they'd make me very ill.
Yeah, it's not anything you would enjoy.
Yeah.
And I think it's because I've been watching The Mandalorian.
Mm.
And the motorcycles that they have on the Mandalorian, the scooters that they have that just float in the air and go, remind me of a pedal horse.
Okay.
And so, yeah. Like, just anytime I see, because every time I watch a movie or a TV show where people are doing, like, amazing feats of strength or accuracy, I look over at Chad and I'm like, you could do that.
Yes.
Like, you, oh, they're so lucky it's not you, because you would so do that.
Yes.
Yeah.
I forget however many years ago it came out, we were watching Beowulf, and you were like, you could do that. You could totally just, like, vault over somebody's head and just, like, come up behind them.
Yeah, we were watching the animated.
Yep.
The animated one.
Like, it's animated because nobody could do this in real life. You said, except no, you. No,
when we saw Eastern Promises, Viggo Mortensen, best fight scene ever, naked in the steam room.
That was a good fight scene. Yes.
You could so do that. You could so do that. Like, why limit yourself?
But I've got asthma. Like, the steam room would be bad for me.
Just admit you could do it.
I could do it.
Yes,
thank you. I just wouldn't be happy about it.
He was not happy about it.
Yes, he was. He was like, I'm an actor. I'm getting paid. I'm happy about this.
No, he was not happy about it. He said it was a very scary, uncomfortable scene for him. Mm-hmm. But he was just happy to get it.
Yeah. Committed to doing his own stunt.
He did some of the stunts. He didn't do all of them. But he did a lot of, because you couldn't replace somebody for a lot of that scene. It was right up in his face.
That's why I said stunt rather than stunts.
Yeah.
Plural.
So if you haven't seen Eastern Promises, it's a really good show. You should see it.
Yes.
And I really like Viggo Mortensen. Just he was so respectful to, like, at first he wasn't taking his hand tattoos off. And then he was like, no, these tattoos mean something in the part of the world that we're in. So I'm taking them off to not be culturally insensitive. And that made me like him more.
Yeah. Yeah, sometimes you find things out about stars and you're like, oh, I don't like you anymore. And other times you're like,
I try not to find out stuff about stars.
And other times you're like, whoa, you're better than I thought. You are like better than an average human. So far as I could tell, and I reserve the right to revoke that judgment if terrible things come out about you.
Yeah, there have been people that like really surprised me, like Kiki Palmer. So Kiki Palmer, famously a few years back, I think you might have talked about this before. She was at a party and they decided to make it a video shoot for a rapper's song. And she hid in the closet. And a lot of gossip people came out and made fun of her for hiding in the closet so that they couldn't get any shots of her. Mm-hmm. And Kiki said, no, I'm not going to be out here looking crazy. Where's my makeup? Where's my hair? Where's my wardrobe? I'm Kiki Palmer.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not going to be out here like that. Like, I'm not asking for pay. I'm not asking for ridiculous things. I'm asking for to look good on camera. Yeah, that's what I'm asking for. And you're telling me you don't have anybody. And I signed a non-disclosure when I came to the party that, you know, when anybody's famous at a party, you sign a non-disclosure. And that's cool. So because I'm going to a non-disclosure party and everybody's keeping their phones at the door, I didn't put on any makeup.
Yeah.
Because no one's supposed to be filming.
Right, right.
And then all of a sudden you want to bust out cameras. That's not going to happen. And Wendy Williams, being Wendy Williams, talked out the side of her mouth. And Kiki Palmer, this is the last episode of Wendy Williams I ever watched. Kiki Palmer came out and said, you know, Wendy, I wish you had been a better sister to me. Mm-hmm. I wish you had said what happened to my sister was wrong. Mm-hmm. She shouldn't have had to hide in the closet. She should have had hair and makeup. It should have been done professionally. Everybody on that set, man, woman, and child, should have known that they were going to be in a video. Just because I come to a party does not give you the right to my likeness. And I wish that you had been more down for me. And her Twitter feed is awesome. And she's an activist. And she's got her head on right.
Well, and I think it goes back to what you're saying about normalizing things. I think normalizing standards of behavior.
Yep.
Just, like, treat people professionally. Don't assume that just because you got somebody in front of you that they're down for whatever.
Well, no man or woman wants to be on a high def shoot with no makeup.
Okay.
You're going to look horrible.
Yes.
They're going to see, like, if you have enlarged pores or what have you. I have green veins. And I'm like, I would be mad as hell if someone did not have some color correction for me on set.
Yeah, I don't remember the last time that I wore makeup, but it's been a while. But when I was going to be filmed, I wore makeup because that's what you do.
Yeah. And so for me, I have green veins on the inside of my nose, which now a lot of people have taken to. I did it for years. I did it first. No, the Egyptians did it before me. But I always put my color on the inside of my eyes because it's so hard to color correct those green veins.
Yeah.
So I would just extend my eyes up into the points of my nose. And now everyone does that. And I think I'm glad everyone does it now. So thank you, Mario, for doing that classic, like, contoured, that over-contoured face.
Mm-hmm.
Which, again, is something that's just become part of the norm. And there are people, like, taking in with filters and stuff that are taking their filters into their doctors, plastic surgeons, and being like, can you make my face look like this filter? And I'm like, and some people are upset about it. I don't know why. If they have the money.
Yeah.
And the doctor can achieve it. I'm like, I'm all for people getting plastic surgery. And I'm fine with people lying about getting plastic surgery. Because for me, I feel like if you're allowing your child to be more influenced by the media than by you, that's hours on the clock.
So I feel like with plastic surgeons in particular, I feel like they're part of a category of things where you might dislike the thing that they make their money at, but if you realize the reason that they came about, you'll be happy about them. Like, I don't have any issues with plastic surgery, so I don't have this. But plastic surgeons started out doing, like, repairs for people injured in, like, wars and
World War One,
yeah,
particularly, specifically.
And industrial accidents and all of that. So I feel like without the plastic surgery industry, you wouldn't have enough people to handle all of that stuff. Along the same lines, just like a shout out to all my, like, friends and non-friends and people who are potheads. I feel like they kept the pot industry going through prohibition in the U.S.
They kept the what?
Pot industry going. And because they were potheads, they started doing all these extracts with the CBD and the THC and all that.
And so plastic surgeons?
No.
Okay, who? You've lost me.
Just like pot smokers, just potheads.
Okay, so plastic surgeons are like potheads. That's a weird segue.
Yes, it is a weird segue.
Okay, he's going to bring it around for us, folks, so we're going to let him go. We're going to just see where this goes.
So I take CBD for seizures, which I think everybody who listens knows.
Yeah, all music knows, yeah.
But the only way that CBD comes about is by there being lots of pot and people doing experimentation on pot.
Yes.
To find out how to get a better high and to find out which parts make you high and which parts don't.
Yes.
CBD doesn't. No. So because there were so many potheads looking for a better high, they found CBD.
Yes.
And learned how to extract it. And it's economical because there's enough of a pot economy that taking this one extract that's useful to hardly anybody.
Only useful to people with seizures.
Right.
And only a percentage of people with seizures.
Right.
But if you have epilepsy, please try CBD.
That they can sell it on at a price that's affordable.
Yeah, and you can get, if THC is not legal where you live, get the CBD without THC. THC is the part of marijuana that makes you high. We talk about it often, but I'm telling you, it has been a miracle for Chad's life. But now bring it back to plastic surgery, babe.
So I feel like even if you think, oh, the plastic surgery industry is horrible, nobody who hasn't been in an accident or something like that should be able to have plastic surgery. If you didn't have that economy of people having plastic surgery for reasons of just, I want to change the way I look, there would not be the ready economy of it being affordable to have corrective plastic surgery.
Okay.
That's me bringing it back around.
Okay. So I'm pro plastic surgery. If I don't care how you get there if you can.
get there if you want to.
Get there if you can. Because plastic surgery is not cheap. And I've had clients that were like really angry at me because they're not the type of people who would get plastic surgery. But they have this one part of their body that they don't like that they could fix with a surgical fix. And a client that no one will be able to figure out who it is by me saying their foot. a client hated their feet and really didn't like the way their foot looked. And I said, you know, you can have foot surgery done to correct the way your feet look. Because it was really impeding their life. This was back in the United States, and in the state of California, open-toed shoes is a huge thing. And this particular client couldn't wear open-toed shoes, and it was like destroying their life. They couldn't go to the beach. There was like all these things they couldn't do. They couldn't go to pool parties.
Yeah, and I wore shorts and sandals in California, but I didn't wear socks with my sandals.
Yeah.
Usually.
I would not allow that to happen. And you never wanted to.
No.
So they were like, I'm not the kind of person who's so vain to have that done. And I'm like, but this will change the quality of your life.
Yeah.
And I say this to women about breast surgery. I say this to men and women about breast surgery, about liposuction, about all types of surgeries, that there is an inherent risk in having surgery done.
Right.
And surgery doesn't fix everything. Like, I'm an obese person. I would never have my stomach, like a sleeve or anything, put on that. But I'm obese by choice. Like, I want to be fat.
Mm-hmm.
And I sometimes I doubt, like, do I want to be fat or not? And then I'll lose weight and I'll be like, I don't like this. I don't like the way my body feels. I don't like the way my body moves. I just don't think it's as sexy. I like a big round belly. Bellies are sexy.
Well, you know, I like it no matter what it looks like.
Yeah. You like a big round belly.
I do, but I've liked the full range of Christopher I've seen.
When you first got together, you felt I was too thin.
But that doesn't mean I didn't like it. I could think that there's room for improvement, but still like something.
And so for us, being heavy is sexy and our norm and our culture, and that used to be the way. When there were food shortages, it used to be that, like, here's proof I can eat.
Mm-hmm.
And now it seems that deprivation is what's considered sexy. Like, starve yourself or go to the gym and do, like, extreme things to your body. Like, become, like a Hemsworth. That seems to be, like, the male goal. I don't know who the female goal is.
I think that it so varies depending on part of the world and sexual orientation and color and just all kinds of different things. Like, I think if you look at, like, the Williams sisters, that they're gorgeous.
They're from sexy women.
Right?
Yeah.
But very muscular, very sporty, and not everybody...
And they're so tall. And I love a tall woman.
And not everybody likes that aesthetic.
I love a tall woman. Like, tall women give me the yayas, but not tall men. I love a tall woman.
Well, and I know a particular person that you have the yayas for a long time.
Yeah.
He's now old enough that I think that you'd be like, I still have the yayas for them. Grace Jones.
Yeah, no, Grace is forever.
You were ready for that.
Yeah, I know Grace Jones. We met. I had an opportunity to be with Grace Jones, and I did not take it. But, yeah, no, Grace is dead sexy in her 80s, saying, doing a hula hoop while she sings. Come on now.
Mm-hmm.
That's dead sexy.
But I think... so.
You... like, YouTube it. She seriously sings while doing the hula hoop the entire time. The entire song. It is, like, just so amazing. She's such an interesting person.
So, but even just within dark black women, those are two different body types completely that are both considered beautiful.
Yeah. And Normani's dead sexy.
Yeah.
Normani is dead sexy. Everybody knows Normani's sexy.
Mm-hmm.
Like, way sexy. Like, she's hot. She's hot. So, and athletic. That's awesome. Yeah. So I love really, really dark-skinned people. I think dark-skinned women are so sexy. And I think dark-skinned men are really sexy, too. Everybody knows. I like so dark that, like, the sheen on the skin is kind of purplish. I love that. That's just so beautiful. And on the other spectrum of it, I like white skin that is so white it looks like it's translucent, like my husband. I love how white you are. I'm like, your skin is so white. I love extreme skin tones.
I have a very high albedo.
Yeah, it's just so, you're so white. I love it.
I'm very reflective. Like, I go outside and people are like, look away. He's too shiny.
You go outside and people call you Santa.
They do.
Hey, Santa.
I think that's about the long white beard.
Yeah, that is. And that's a thing, too. Beards, love a beard. But I recently found out not on everyone.
Interesting.
Yeah, I've recently seen a couple of people. Like, it feels like it's been trending for the past month. I've seen people with a beard, and I'm like, ooh, that does not look good on you. And I've always thought beards were universally sexy.
Mm-hmm.
But they're not.
See, is anything truly universal?
No, I guess things aren't truly universal. I think it depends on who you ask and what universe you're in. It's just looking at the difference in our universes.
Yes, yeah. And I think this is like a really big thing is what universe you're in. Because the mathematician in me gets very excited. Like, ooh, she knows there's different universes.
Yes. To geek out for a minute.
Well, when you're talking about math, if you're talking about any particular problem, you have to define the universe. If you want to say, well, everything except, well, then you have to know what everything is. So, and mathematicians will usually draw like a box and label that box U. So if you look at Venn diagrams, for example, what are the things that are outside of all the circles?
Yeah.
That's the universe. So people will sometimes put a box around that to say, like, things that are none of these three things. And it's usually three things because Venn diagrams for a regular polygon or a circle, the most you can have is three. But if you have rectangles, you can have four. But there's no shape with straight sides that's convex that you can have five and have it be a perfect Venn diagram.
Interesting.
Right? I am fascinated by this kind of stuff.
I hope that everyone can hear the light in your eyes, because your eyes are like illuminescent when you talk about math. You light up.
I find it just so interesting and so fun.
And it seems just so excited and so happy.
Yeah. And I don't want to reinforce stereotypes here. I'm not happy about math because I'm autistic. I'm happy about math because I'm happy about math. That's why I studied
it. Yeah, so what are you talking about? What's that to do with being autism?
Some people are like...
With autism, not being autism.
Well, of course you're good at math because you're autistic, but I know way...
That doesn't make any sense.
It doesn't. We know way too many people who are no good at math who are autistic.
They're like, what are you talking about?
The stereotype.
Oh, okay. The wrong stereotype?
Yeah, the wrong stereotype.
That makes no sense to me.
Because it's like, not universal. You're the
only person I know with autism who's good at math.
Yeah.
Literally. Like, literally. I'm trying to think, like, no, none of them are even interested. None of our other friends with autism
are even interested in math. I know a couple.
Yeah, that are mathematicians. But I have four or five friends that are autistic, and none of them like math.
Some of them have dyscalculia. They're like, I can't do math at all.
Yeah.
So, I'm like, let me prove you wrong. So far, nobody's taken me up on the offer. But sometimes somebody will.
I wonder why. I have a disability where I can't do this thing. Let me prove to you that your disability isn't real. No, thank you.
No,
I'd like to remain friends with you.
I think it's still real. I just think there are ways to work around it, like being dyslexic but still reading. But that's a whole other.
So you have not once ever been able to get around my dyslexia.
No,
you have all these theories, and I think the main thing why you can't do it is because you know almost nothing about dyslexia.
Yeah.
And I think therein lies the problem, is that you're starting at a solution for a problem you don't even understand.
And I, because you don't research it. Well, when I do, it doesn't make any sense to me. And I think this is where I'm different, is that from researchers, not from people generally, I'm not claiming any specialness, is that I say, okay, it doesn't make any sense to me, so it's not for me. I'm not a dyslexia researcher. I don't need to figure it out, because you've got it figured out for yourself. Like, it's not a problem I need to fix.
And we're going to send our one friend a message because I really feel bad. I don't want them to feel bad because they have a soft spot in my heart.
Okay.
So can you please message them and forewarn them?
I will forewarn them.
It just gets wonky.
Of the episode
content. I feel so awkward now.
It won't be awkward. I'll make sure it's not awkward.
Yeah, make sure it's not awkward because it's coming from a place of love. It's coming from a place of love and respect. And the point that I was trying to make was that they've been a really significant force of good in your life.
Yeah.
And they really put you on a really great learning, studying. They put you on a path and gave you direction. They really helped you find your place in this new landscape in the modern world. And that you kind of stepped away from for a decade. They helped you step back into a world where the landscape had completely changed and really did a lot of great signposting for you. And so it was just really about me saying, I think you're an amazing human. And so just human to human, you're awesome. And I'm sorry it got weird. But as with most things with me and praise, it gets weird. Because I'm an effusive praiser.
You are.
I'm effusive and over the top. So like the people who interact with me on Twitter, they love it. Like, you're so awesome. You're so sexy. You're 10 kinds of awesome sauce. I love you. You're amazing. And so Chad was like worried that people would mistake that for him. And I'm like, sweetie, you don't praise people on Twitter.
Sometimes I'm like, I think you are marginally better than the average human. And people are like, that is high praise. High praise from you, Chad.
Okay, on that note, we're going to head on over to the take two. And as we told, we're going to be talking about advertising, that portion of the business. And it's going to be a split topic. So head on over. We've got a couple things that we're going to be talking about. And it's all about publishing in the book. And we hope that y'all are still finding that series interesting. And thank you for going on this wonky, bizarre ride about traditions and how we don't have any.
Yes. Thank you.
Thanks for listening. Talk to you next week.
Bye.
Bye. Thank you for listening. You can keep the conversation going on our website at themusicsinjapan.com. That's the music spelled MUSICKS. Be sure to follow us on Twitter and Facebook. We're at The Musics on both.
And if you'd like to support us, please visit our website to sign up for our newsletter, join a Patreon tier, or send us a one-time donation through PayPal or Ko-fi. We hope you'll listen again next week.
Bye.